Our first year that we had was sort of an introductory year that really gave us a little bit of a context into why it is that we learned Pirkei Avos in the first place and why it's an important study for all of us to focus on. Now we're going to continue with what is considered to be the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, but it's really an extremely curious Mishnah when you think about it carefully. In fact, the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is one that really does not come from Pirkei Avos. It is really taken from the Seches Sanhedrin. And we supplant it here, we put it into Pirkei Avos for some very unusual reason. Nobody really knows what the exact reason is. But this Mishnah that I refer to is an introductory Mishnah that we say, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek La'olam Haba. That every Jewish person, every individual has a portion in Olam Haba. And it's very unusual, and it's hard to understand exactly why this finds itself in the very beginning of Pirkei Avos. Maybe we'll get to that question a little bit later. But as we know, we're now currently in the 9 days, commemorating the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. It's a period in which we're supposed to be thinking very seriously about Geula and about Yemos HaMashiach in general. So, as a lead into our discussion today about Olam Haba, because the Mishnah tells us, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek La'olam Haba, we're going to have to talk about what that means. So I'd first like to say a few words about Yemos HaMashiach. I know for myself, sometimes it's a bit confusing when we think about all of the various experiences that we look forward to. So we talk about Mashiach and Olam Haba and Tchiyas HaMesim, and is everything the same? Is it different? So let me just read for you the words of the Rambam where he puts it very clearly for us. I didn't put the Rambam on here, but the Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim as follows. Lanus Abu HaChachamim V'Hanevi'im Limos HaMashiach. All of the prophecies that were given by all the Nevi'im throughout all the millennia about Yemos HaMashiach, about those days that we all look forward to and we daven for every day. Why did they tell us about those days? Why were they so excited? Why were they so overwhelmed by the experience of Yemos HaMashiach? Lo kidei sheyishlatu al kol ha'olam. It is not because that will be a time when we will have complete rulership and sovereignty over the world. That is not what excited them. Velo kader sheyerdu ba'akum, and is not in order that we should be oppressive to all those who have been oppressive to us over the last many, many millennia. Velo kader lecho velishtos ulesameach. Nor is Yemos HaMashiach a time when we will all celebrate and rejoice and have a wonderful time. That is not what is exciting about Yemos HaMashiach either. Elo kidei sheyihyu pnuyim batorah uvechachmasa. The reason why we're excited about Yemos HaMashiach is because we will have an uninterrupted time in which we'll have the ability to study the wisdom of the Ribono Shel Olam. We'll be able to study the Torah Hashem. That is why Yemos HaMashiach should be exciting for us. This is what we daven for. This is what should be on the forefront of our minds when Mashiach will come. It will give us an opportunity to have uninterrupted, unadulterated study of Torah, and for all of us to master that as much as we can. V'lo yihi elohem no geis umevatel. There will be absolutely no disruption, there will be no distraction at all, and we will have the opportunity to study Torah as much as we'd like. And all of that, says the Rambam, why is it important that we study Torah in the days of Yemos HaMashiach? All of that is to lead us, kedei sheyizku l'chayei ha'olam haba. Again, all of that exciting time of Yemos HaMashiach is simply to lead us into a time when we'll have the opportunity to experience Olam Haba in the afterlife. That's what Yemos HaMashiach is for. Which is amazing. It's an amazing, gives it a very different frame of mind when you think about it from these words of the Rambam. Uva Osa Hazman, says the Rambam, in those days of Yemos HaMashiach, Lo Yihya, Lo Rav, Lo Melchama, there will no longer be any fighting, no more wars, Velo Kina, Vitachris, there won't be any frustration, no jealousy any longer. Shahatova Tihya Mushpas Harbe, we will be overwhelmed with goodness everywhere that we turn. Velo Yihya Esa Kala Olam, the best part of it all, says the Rambam, is that the focus of the world will be Ladas Es Hashem Bilvad. That's what the world is going to be focusing on, to try to have an understanding of what the Ribono Shel Olam means, of what he's supposed to mean to all of us in our lives. And therefore, says the Rambam, we're going to have leaders that are going to be smarter than Shlomo HaMelech, and we're going to have Nevi'im that are going to be almost as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, who have the ability to educate us, who have the ability to enlighten us and inform us about all the things that we had a lack of understanding until this point. That, says the Rambam, is Yemos HaMashiach. And all of Yemos HaMashiach simply leads us to have a portion in Olam Haba. That, says the Rambam, is what we look forward to. So when the Gemara discusses the experience of Olam Haba, the Gemara tells us in Brachas Daf Lamed Dalet, Amar Rab Chiya Bar Abba Amar Rab Yochanan, Kol HaNeviim Kulan Lo Nisnabu Ela Limos HaMashiach. All the Neviim that told us about the great things that are going to happen, they're all describing Yemos HaMashiach, which is going to happen here on this world. We're all going to experience it. That's what all the prophecies meant to explain to us. That's what they're trying to show us. That's what they want us to imagine. However, Aval Olam Haba, says the Gemara, the prophets never gave us any sort of understanding, any sort of insight into Olam Haba and what that's supposed to mean for us and what that experience will actually be, what it will feel like. Because there, says the Gemara, Ayin lo rasa Elokim zulasecha. It is so sublime. It is so transcendental. It's so out of our imagination to understand what a moment of Olam Haba is going to look like. Therefore, says the Gemara, even the Nevi'im felt that it was inexpressible. It was something they had no way of sharing with us because they had no way of understanding it themselves. That's what the experience of Olam Haba is. And the Gemara goes further and it says, yes?
Do we have to die to get there?
Yes. Olam Haba is the afterlife. This is Olam Hazeh.
So the sickness will keep going on and you'll die and then you go to Olam.
These are good questions. The Rambam writes somewhere else, I have to say. You know, Ein li esek b'nistaros. I don't know Kabbalah. I'm honest with what I know and what I don't know. I know nothing about these issues, I'll be honest with you. And the Rambam himself writes in a different place, he says, Lo neida ad sheneida. We won't know until we know. So when it happens, we'll all be informed and we'll figure it out. But until that time, the Rambam says, let's just live life the way we're supposed to be living and let's try to figure out what our job is today and what we're supposed to be doing. I know there are many who like to speak about these kinds of esoteric topics. My teacher has always taught me not to speak about them because, quite honestly, nobody in the world really has an understanding of any of these. Only God Himself knows. And this is why I generally try to stay away from it. So the Chafetz Chaim wonders, why is it that the way our world was set up is the way that we experience it? And the Chafetz Chaim says, it's a very strange phenomenon. Why is it that we have to wait for the afterlife to get repaid for the things that we do in this world? Wouldn't it have made more sense, asked the Chafetz Chaim, if we all had the opportunity to do whatever it is that we did and to accomplish whatever we accomplish in life, and as a result of everything that we do, we get paid back in this world and we have a wonderful life? Wouldn't that make sense? Wouldn't that be an easier system? So the Chafetz Chaim cannot understand, why is it that we have to wait for Olam Haba in order to be paid back? And he explains as follows. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, you have somebody who has a check, and the check is legitimate, and it's given from somebody who actually has money in the bank. So, I have a $100 check in my hand. I have the opportunity to go to a storefront, to a local cash deposit, to a local check casher. I can give them the $100 check, and they'll give me $100 cash back. Says the Chafetz Chaim, what happens if I have a $1,000 check? I would imagine I cannot just go to the storefront, to the check casher. They're not going to take a check for $1,000. They don't have so much disposable cash around that they're able to just give out such big amounts of money. So they tell me you have to go to the bank. What happens if I walk into the bank with a $300,000 check into the local bank? Writes the Chafetz Chaim, a general local bank also doesn't have at their disposal $300,000 cash. They're going to say you have to go to a national bank. You have to go talk to the executive. You have to go somewhere else. And what if I have a $1 million check? Then what do I do? So you have to figure out how you're going to get it. But the Chafetz Chaim says to go to the normal place where you would generally go to cash something very small and very petty, you would not be able to do so when you have something that is so much greater than anything they can handle. Well, writes the Chafetz Chaim, the reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam promised us that he's going to pay us back in Olam Haba is because he has no way of properly paying a person back in this world for anything that they have done, for any accomplishment. Because anything that he would do and any payment that we could possibly be given in this world would be insufficient. It would never be enough to pay us back for the reward that we actually deserve for doing the simplest mitzvah. So last week you kept Shabbos. Do you understand how much schar you deserve for keeping Shabbos? You think that by having some sort of pleasure in this world, That's enough for God to pay you back? Even the greatest pleasure that you can ever imagine. It's never enough. It's never sufficient. And therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam said from the outset, the way we're going to have this is, the payment is going to wait for Olam Haba. That's not a punishment. It's not because I want you to suffer. But rather, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, because I just don't have anything in the world that's big enough, that's great enough, for you to be paid back for the activities that you have been involved in throughout your life. That, says the Chafetz Chaim, is why we have to wait for Olam Haba. And we have a Mishnah in which we're promised, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek L'Olam Haba, so we can be assured that we're going to have that opportunity to be paid back. Yes? Had a question? We have a Mishnah a little bit later in Pirkei Avos where we're told the following. Yafa Shah Achas Shal Koras Ruach Ba'Olam Haba. One moment being spent in Olam Haba is greater than Kol Chayei HaOlam Hazeh. Again, try to internalize that statement. Yafa Shah Achas Shal Koras Ruach Ba'Olam Haba. One moment in Olam Haba is more profound, is more overwhelmingly gratifying than Kol Chayei HaOlam Hazeh. Now Rav Dessler writes in his Sefer Michta Me'Elio, let's try to understand what that means. And he suggests the following. Let's read it together. Chefsi legalos bazeh, I'd like to share with you, he writes, Mashas achisi l'shma meherav brodi, this that I heard from one of my contemporaries. Hu pirish, and he explained, what does it mean when the Mishnah says, Yafesh shah achas shal koras ruach ba'olam haba, one moment in olam haba is greater than kol chai ha'olam hazeh, than every experience in this world. He writes as follows. You have to use your imagination a little bit to be able to appreciate what he says. Im nekabe tzaltoch rega echad. If we can gather into one moment, if you could just imagine such a thing. Es kol hashos v'gam rigaim shel osher v'nachas. So, some people in life have difficult lives, and they struggle with certain things. But all of us in life at some point have had some sort of satisfaction. We felt happy at some point. We felt a little bit of nachas from something that we've accomplished or something that our families have done. Everybody's had that at some point in life. So writes Rav Dessler, if you would take every single moment of your life in which you were happy, the day you got married, the day you had a child, the day that you graduated high school, the day that you went to camp for the first time, everything that you've done in life, that whatever at whatever juncture you were at, you had some sort of pleasure and enjoyment. You would take all of that and you would put it together into one moment, if you can imagine such a thing. And you would add all those pleasures up together and all those enjoyments. Sheyesh la'adam b'meshach kol yimei chayav. All of those memories and all of those experiences, you put them together from your entire life. V'nitzarif lazeh. And then on top of that, you would also put as kala osher v'hanacha sheyesh l'chol chaveirav b'chol yimei chayehem. Not only that, you think about all of the pleasure that all of your friends have had over the last many years that they've been on this earth. And you take all of their moments of joy and all of their happiness and you put that together on top of yours. V'gam ezeh nachnis al tocha rega. And we're going to somehow figure out how to consolidate all of that experience, all of that emotion, into one moment. V'nitin akol adam echad. And now you're going to present that to one person to say, here's your chance. Can you imagine, he writes, Hayim efshar l'shar es madregas ha'osher asher yargish ha'adam ahu berega ahu. Is it possible to even have any sort of measure, any sort of way to assess or to estimate what such an experience would feel like? There are moments in life in which we're very excited, we're very happy, but we think it can't get better than this. And then you have another experience and you realize, well, it can. This is greater than something else that I've had. This feels more amazing, more uplifting, more exhilarating. Well, writes Rav Dessler, what if you had something which was on top of all of that, plus the pleasures of everyone that you know? And then he goes further. Achein zos v'gam acheres. Now imagine, we're going to take it even further. Ki nitzaref al toch harega hu. Imagine if on top of that experience, you're also going to add something more. Nitin la'adam azez kala osher v'hanachas sheyesh la'anshei kol ha'ir b'meshach kol yimei chayehim. Not only you and your friends, but we take all those moments of joy from our entire community. Ve'od yoter mizeh, he says, and even more than that, Ki nitzarif od es kol ha'osher shel kol darei ha'ayara shebechol medina uvechol medina umvednin. Take every living human being that inhabits our world, and you think about the moments of joy that they've had in their lives. Hainu kol hatov sheba'olam b'meshech dor hashalem. Every moment of enjoyment or satisfaction from every member of this world. V'hakol netzaref al toch rega echad. And we would figure out how to consolidate that into one experience for one person to have for one moment. Mikol makam adayin ein zeh kol chai ha'olam hazeh. That's still not enough. And he goes further and he says, once again, if you look at the Mishnah, it says, Yafa sha'a achas shel koras ruach ba'olam haba. One moment of serenity in olam haba is greater than kol chai ha'olam hazeh. He goes further in the next paragraph and he says, we have to take not only the pleasures and the experiences of those who are alive in our generation, but we take those from the beginning of time until the end of time. And every moment that they've experienced, that they have enjoyed, will be put together and presented to one human being, to one individual to appreciate. Still, the Mishnah says, one experience, one moment of Olam Haba is more exhilarating than all of that together. Hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine, but that's exactly why the Gemara says, when it comes to the description of Olam Haba, Ayin lo rasa Elokim zulasecha. God is the only one who has the ability to even begin to express what that feeling will be for us. No human being can possibly even imagine what that will feel like or what that experience will look like, because it's greater than kol chai ha'olam hazeh. You know, after I saw this from Rav Dessler a few years ago, I said, obviously I didn't stick to it, but how can you ever do an Aveira again? When you know that this is what's waiting for you, when you know that every mitzvah that you perform, this is what's waiting for you in return, something that is more profoundly impactful than anything that I've ever experienced in this world, compiled with everything else that everyone else has ever experienced in the world, one moment in Olam Haba is greater than that, is more impactful than that. It's an amazing description that he gives. But that, he says, is what the Mishnah means. One moment in Olam Haba is more amazing, is more exhilarating than kol chai ha'olam hazeh, than everything one can ever imagine. So this is why the Chafetz Chaim writes, we don't have the ability to be paid back in this world. Because it would never suffice. It would never be enough. It would always be inadequate. If the Ribbono Shel Olam would pay us back with anything in the world, it would never be satisfactory. And therefore, writes the Chafetz Chaim, we have to wait until Olam Haba to be paid back, because that is the only way that we can possibly be paid back for a mitzvah that we perform. So we have a Mishnah, as we said, the opening Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek LeOlam Haba. I was looking yesterday in the Pirkei Avos in my house, and I came across, my son happened to pull it off the shelf yesterday, so I thought to look at it. You know the green art scroll Pirkei Avos?
Oh, yeah.
It's a beautiful Pirkei Avos. If you don't have it, it's worthwhile. It's very, very nice. So my son happened to have pulled it off the shelf yesterday and left it on the floor. So I picked it up and I decided it's a Simen Min HaShemayim, I should read it. And I saw something in there that I had seen in the original, in the Chafetz Chaim. There's a sefer called Meshalei HaChafetz Chaim. So there they have a story, and in the art scroll they quote it in English. If anyone wants to look it up at home, you can see it on your own. Where the Chafetz Chaim is bothered by the following question. Let's read it together, number bays. Pam Archa Shalu Es HaChafetz Chaim. On one occasion the Chafetz Chaim was asked, Al Shum Ma V'lama Masriyin Kol Kach Al Bitul Torah U'Marshiyin Al Zeh Olamos. Why do we speak so much? Why are we so focused on people making sure that they spend their time wisely? Why do I have to spend my time wisely? What's the big deal? So what happens if I waste my life? Why does it bother anyone? Don't we know? We've all been promised. We've learned Pirkei Avos. We know the first Mishnah. Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek L'Olam Haba. I'm good. I'm fine. Even if I do nothing in my life, I've already been promised, I've been assured that I have a portion in the world to come. So what am I afraid of? Why do I have to be so careful to make sure that I spend all of my time wisely and that I contribute to society in a positive way? If the Ribbono Shel Olam from the outset already told me, you'll be okay, and I'll take care of you. So then what's left for me to do? Writes the Chafetz Chaim as follows. You look at the next paragraph. Amar lahem haChafetz Chaim. Asapar lachem maisa, he says, I'll tell you the following story. B'kiev hayelifnim gevir adir. In Russia, there was a very wealthy businessman, Ushmo Yisrael Brodsky. His name was Yisrael Brodsky. Everybody knew this man. Yehudi zeh haya baal bate charoshes harbe. He had many factories that he owned. Ubahem avdu alfei paalim pshutim. He had thousands of employees that used to work for him. V'umanim v'lablarim. He says, if you could imagine, how many people are necessary to run a number of factories, a number of nursing homes? So you need a team of people who work in the IT department, and you need people who are going to be the lawyers when we get sued, and you need a bunch of people who are going to be the superintendents, and who are going to clean the bathrooms, and you need a whole staff, and you need people who know how to do the crafts, and you need people that know how to treat the patients. You need people who know how to do everything if you're running a big business like that. Thousands of employees. Uve Nehem Gam Rabim. Among those, he also had a few people. Shahayi Krovov, Krovim, She'ere Basar. He had a number of relatives who also came to work there. Ukrovim Rechokim. And he had some distant relatives also. You ever know, somehow, when somebody becomes a famous person, all of a sudden everyone's related to them. Somehow. Even though that person never heard and has no way of retracing the steps of how in the world they are related to that other individual, but that's the way it works. So Yisrael Brodsky seemed to have many, many relatives suddenly, and all of a sudden all of his factories are filled with all of his, so to speak, relatives. Mehem uatim shayim mekablim scharam stam, belo sheyasu shim avoda. A few of them didn't even work. They just said, I'm a cousin of Brodsky, give me a job here. They didn't really do anything. Me'ein kitzva chadashit, he said, they used to get paid a monthly salary. They were on the payroll. One fine day, he writes, pamachas balavaker be'echan mibatei acharoshes. Yisrael Brodsky decides, I should really make a staff appreciation day. So I want to go and I want to check out what everybody's doing. I want to make sure that they're actually working properly. I want to make sure that the managers know what they're doing. And he decides to take a trip to one of the factories. Normally he worked in his office. So he calls ahead, he says, I'd like you to know I'm coming today. I want to meet every single employee in that factory. Thousands of people. So, velitos al kankanam shel hapoalim v'apakidim. He wants to encourage, he wants to study and review the work that all of his workers are doing. Hovilu amamunam al pnei ha'ulamos. He says they have a big stage put up and they tell everybody from the factory, today we'd like you all to come. One by one, you're going to meet with the owner of the company, and he's going to speak with you. Havir lefanavas kala ovdim v'hu hayashol kach kal echad mehem ma'avodaso mascharu. He asks each one of them individually, "What is it exactly that you do in the business? How much do you get paid? Is it time for a raise? Do you have enough bonuses? Do you have enough? Are you taken care of? Is there an infrastructure here? Do you need more workers to work with you?" And he's going through all of the details with each of the workers. Bein kala ovdim nimtza echad. So as he's going through all of his workers, all of his employees, one man finally stands up and he says, Brodsky turns to him and he says, "Lemakom avodaso letivo l'schar." He says, "Tell me, which part of the company do you work in? What do you do here?" Heishiv lo tshuva kitzara. He answers him, "I'll tell you. What I do in this company is, my job is to come once a month and to collect a check. That's my job." And Brodsky turns to him and he says, "What does that mean, it's your job? I asked, what do you do?" He says, "That's what I do. I come to work once a month, and I get a check." So he says to him, "How can that be?" And he responds, "Well, I happen to be a distant cousin of yours. So they put me on the payroll." Writes the Chafetz Chaim, "It's true, the Mishnah assures us, Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek le'olam haba. We're cousins with the Ribono Shel Olam. We're relatives of his. Some of us might be very distant cousins, very far away from him, but we can somehow trace ourselves back to him. So we're entitled to be on the payroll, just by the virtue of the fact that we're somehow related to him." Bini Bechari Yisrael. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, "So you're going to get upstairs, and the Ribono Shel Olam is going to want to review what it is that you do in the company. So what do you do in the company? What did you accomplish? What do you do? Were you paid enough? Do you need some extra help, some extra support? Do I owe you more? Staff Appreciation Day." And the Ribono Shel Olam is going to go through each person and he's going to give him exactly what he deserves. And finally he's going to come to one individual and he's going to say, "So what do you do in the world?" He says, "I just show up and I get my paycheck. Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek l'olam haba is good enough for me. I did nothing in this world." So it's true, says the Chafetz Chaim. It's true, every Jew really has a place in the world to come. But how much of a fool does that person look like when they present themselves before God Himself and God says, "I don't even know who you are. You tell me you're distantly related to me, somehow, somewhere, but you don't do anything here. We'll give you something. But writes the Chafetz Chaim, wouldn't we all want to earn something meaningful? Wouldn't we all want to be proud to say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, no, this is what I did, this is what I deserve. This is how I acted. This is the impact I made in the world. This is how I changed my community. This is how I made the world a better place than it was before I came here. Says the Chafetz Chaim, is that not something to be proud of? Is that not something that all of us want to be able to present? Although we already know from the outset that we have a baseline, chelek and olam haba, but don't we want more? Don't we want to be able to present ourselves in a responsible way, says the Chafetz Chaim. So we all aspire to a life in olam haba. We don't fully understand what exactly that entails and what it means, but currently we inhabit the world of olam hazeh, as we know. And the Chafetz Chaim writes so beautifully in a different one of his svarim, what the experience of Olam HaZeh is for us. So let's read it together because it's so beautiful. I can't say it nicer than the Chafetz Chaim himself. Let's read it together. Od Zos Tira, says the Chafetz Chaim, when you think about life, you'll understand. She'ibadnu legamri es koach regesh nafshenu. We have become completely desensitized. And we no longer have the ability to have clarity of vision of what it is that I'm supposed to be doing. Like the Mesilas Yesharim starts in his very opening sentence, She'yizbar v'yis'ames etzel ha'adam. The job of every human being is to make it clear, Ma chovasa ba'olama, what does God want from me? What am I here for? What's my job? What's the objective? What's the goal? Says the Chafetz Chaim, we live in Olam Hazeh, which is so confusing, which for us so often is so cloudy. And we don't have that clarity of vision that we all would wish that we had. Hello, Tira, he says. Kisha Yavo, the Yerid Gadol. Anyone here ever traveled to Vegas for a show? The Food Expo or something like that? Nobody ever went? A trade show? So that's what the Chafetz Chaim describes here. Kisha Yavo, the Yerid. Imagine you go down to Vegas for a trade show, for the Expo. Kama Asrot Alfei Anashim, and you come there and there are tens of thousands of people that have come from all over the country to participate. And you have merchants that are coming with all kinds of products and all kinds of merchandise, and everyone has their own commodity and everyone has their own business. And he says, obviously none of us actually live in Vegas, but we've all traveled in order to participate in the show. So obviously we all need to take out a hotel there. Ve'az derach ha'achsanios, he says, the local hotels there in Vegas have a job, lahachin kama v'kama mine maichel. Obviously they have to make sure to provide us with a lavish breakfast in the morning and a filling dinner at night. And it can't just be a filling dinner, but it has to be something that's worthy of the fancy businessmen that are coming from all over the world. V'avazos v'ofos mufutamim avuram, and they make all kinds of fancy delicacies to serve at these meals. And you look through the thousands of people who have come, who have converged on the city to take part in this. Yesh kama suge anashim. Not everyone's the same. You have different kinds of people. Yesh mehem chachamim. Some of them are highly intelligent and very skilled at what they do. Yesh mehem tipshim. Some of them are highly ineffective. Some of them have no idea how to run a business, how to make a meeting. Some of them don't know how to sell themselves, how to give their commodities to others, how to make a deal with them. Yesh memutzim ben chachamim letipshim, and some are in the middle, some are okay. V'kalachad ve'achad manega sakav lefi chachmasa v'charitzuso. Each one runs their business based on their own capability. Everyone has their own ability to run a business or not, and that's what you do, that's the best you can do. Achein, af elu shehim tipshim biyoser. Even the most foolish and unskilled of the group who might be there, who might show up, and every group is going to have those, even those who run a business at a loss and really have no idea what they're doing. Afilu hachi, if they've showed up to Las Vegas and they've made the trip all the way from wherever it is that they've come in order to participate, ein echad mikulam sheyala al daito lachshov, nobody would possibly think she'ikar bo liyarid, that the intent or the objective of coming to Las Vegas was obviously, nobody's going to say that the reason why I've come here is in order to have the lavish breakfast and all the amenities that they're offering us and the swimming pool, and you should see the massages that they give. Obviously, this is not the reason why I've come. I could have stayed home for that. Obviously, I came to Las Vegas for a greater purpose. Even though it's enjoyable, I like to go in the pool if I have time in between meetings. And I enjoy the delicious food that they're serving there. Turn the page. Obviously, the main objective, the intent of my coming and my traveling, going out of my way, was certainly not for that purpose. He says, obviously, everybody thinks about why it is that I've come. I've come in order to somehow help out my business or to try to find new business ventures. Now imagine if after the week being away from the family in Las Vegas and all the money spent on the hotels and all the money spent on the flights and the travel and all the work that I took off from my business at home in order to be able to participate in this expo there. Imagine you come home after the week and you say to your spouse, so they turn to you and they say, "Nu, how did it go?" And you start telling them, "You should know the massages I got there, amazing. And the pool was open every day, it was the perfect temperature. And then, after we were done with that, you should have seen what they served us and the coffee every morning. And they brought it straight up to the room. I didn't even have to leave for a week straight. I was able to sit in my room, get all the amenities I can ever imagine. It was the most amazing week." And the spouse says to, "Really? But what did you do all week?" "What do you mean? I just told you, that's what I did." No, but you left the family for a week. You spent thousands of dollars doing this. Obviously, you went for a purpose." "Yeah, that's why I went." That's an unacceptable answer. That's an unacceptable answer. If you come home with nothing and you've gained nothing from the experience, what do all the amenities do you any good? Writes the Chafetz Chaim, next paragraph. V'ilu b'inyanenu. In our reality, in our existence that we live, Hayetzer mate kolkachas libas b'nei ha'adam, we are living in such confusion and we become so clouded with our vision. That we never bother to consider, we never bother to think. You ever think about it? To travel to Vegas is not so far. To travel from your neshama being and by the Kisei HaKavod next to the Ribono Shel Olam down to this earth for 70, 80, 90, 100 years, it's a long trip. You're taking a lot of time off from the family. You've been sent here for a long, long journey to do something special. Says the Chafetz Chaim, "Hu derech arucha me'od me'olam habriya, shasham mishkan haneshamas." The Ribono Shel Olam sends you away to go try and figure out a good business venture. "Umisham lepol olam hazeh v'choshvim," and we mistakenly think, "shekal ikar hatzlachasam hu kisheyachal lasas kal yamav kechagim." The most enjoyment that I can get out of life is what I'm here for. That's what life's all about. How many amenities am I going to be able to eke out of the hotel that I'm staying in Vegas? How much can I get? How many extras? How many massages? And how many swimming pools? And how many meals can I attend? And how many friends can I bring? And how much fun can I have? And he writes, "V'hisnaig b'shulchan rachav malei mikol mine tanugim ve'eno choshev klal al achriso." And never do we bother to think about where it is that we're headed. What is the goal? What's the destination? Why have I come here? Why have I gone away from the family for so long? What's the point? What am I expected to come home with? What am I going to tell my spouse when I return home and they ask me, "Well, what have you accomplished? What have you done?" Halo mukrachu lachzer la'olam ha'olam. And at some point we know, as much as we don't like to think about it, but at some point we know, sof kala adam lamus. Everybody in the end, at some point, is going to have to go back to the Creator. And they're going to have to give answers. Like my father always tells me, the cemetery is full of all the indispensable people. That's what happens. Unfortunately, we know it to be the reality of our world. V'laruch es kol scharos, so you're going to have to lay out all of the merchandise that you've been busy with throughout your life. Asher kana ba'olam hazeh lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And imagine you come back and your spouse asks you, God turns to you and he says, "My beloved, I've missed you. You've been away for a long time. I sent you away on a long trip to see how well you could do, how well you could present yourself at the trade show. And what are you coming back with? What are you showing me?" And all you can say to God at that point is, look at the house that I built, and look at the car that I drive, and look how many trips I took in the summer, and look how exciting life is, and look how amazing a world I lived in and I experienced. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you have every right to enjoy the world. Take out a hotel room. We don't expect the person who goes to Vegas to sleep on the park bench, to sleep in the middle of the street. We expect they're going to pamper themselves a little bit. You're allowed to. Of course you're allowed to. Enjoy the world. But what was the goal? What was the destination? What did you come home with? Anything? Anything, writes the Chafetz Chaim. And that's a point that he encourages us to think about. Although we look forward and we aspire to a life in Olam Haba, we have to think while we're in Olam Hazeh, what is that life going to look like? And what answer are we going to give when God Himself is going to ask us those difficult questions? What are we going to say to Him? Why are we here? What is the objective and what was the goal for our term being here on this earth? I know it's sobering. But let's read one more passage from the Chafetz Chaim and then we'll close. Chafetz Chaim writes as follows, V'hine, Kasher nizbonin be'einenu nira b'chush, we will see, She'avur rov tir dasenu be'inyane havle ha'olam, because we get so carried away with the lives that we live. And we know that to be true in every aspect of life. It doesn't only mean in spirituality. I think so often. Why do people work so hard today? Because in order to support an Orthodox Jewish family today, you need to work very hard. There's no other way around it. Correct? And how often do those people who work so hard ever take a step back and think, well, the family that I'm working so hard to provide for, do I ever actually have a chance to spend time with them? Is all the hard work worth it? So this is not a spiritual question, this is just a practical one. Where the Chafetz Chaim says, unfortunately, Mishum Rov Tir Dasenu, because we're so busy with the world that we're expected, with the lives that we're expected to live today, we sometimes lose focus. And we don't have the ability to zero in once again on, well, what is the objective? Why am I working so hard? So I became a lawyer and I'm out really late at night and I sleep in the office and I take showers in the office. Do I ever come home and actually enjoy the family that I'm trying to work hard for? If not, what's the point of doing everything that I do? Says the Chafetz Chaim, next paragraph. Hinei anu roim. We see. Kishezoch adam ledaber im hamelech. He says, imagine to yourself you had this experience. You were invited to the White House. I've had a number of friends who were invited to the White House. Rabbis who go, and they have a chance to have a photo op with the president. Very nice. And they think to themselves in advance, what am I going to tell the president? And I've thought to myself, the president couldn't care less what you have to say. But okay, some people think they're very important. So they think the president really wants to hear from them. So you come into the Oval Office and you have your photo op with the president and he says, Nudi, you have anything to say? And you say, you know, President, I'd like you to know, I have the answer to the crisis in the Middle East. I'm going to tell you. I've sat down with strategists. I've sat down with analysts. I figured it all out. Here's hundreds of papers. Let me go through it with you. And he says, you know, this is a very interesting idea. He starts calling in all of his workers, all of his cabinet, calls in all of Congress, says, you know, I'd like this person to make a presentation in front of all of Congress. This is unbelievable what he's come up with. It's amazing. This is the answer to the problem. Or somebody walks in and says, you know, I've studied North Korea for the last 50 years. I really have a great understanding. I am the expert. This is what I have to say. And the president says, wow, something impressive. You know, I know nothing about it. Let me see what you have to say. And he starts laying out, that was not meant as a political comment, but who's supposed to know anything about a country that nobody knows anything about, right? So you come in and you tell him all of your ideas and how you've sat down with all the experts in the world and this is what you've come up with. He says, you know, I'd like to invite you. You're going to give a national address on TV. I'm going to stand next to you. I'm going to be there supporting you. I'm going to tell everyone, listen to this man. He's brilliant. He figured out the problem. He knows what he's talking about. He's the one that we're going to follow. Imagine if that would happen, writes the Chafetz Chaim. Imagine what happens after that conversation is over. And from that time on, the president calls you weekly updates. He wants to know where we're holding with the plan. And you know, I missed a couple of details. I'd like to follow up with you. And every week you're getting this phone call for 6 months in a row. Imagine you come home, says the Chafetz Chaim, you tell them, your wife asked you knew how to go. So you would never believe what happened. I didn't just have a photo op with the president. I presented him all of my notebooks, all the things, everything I was working on. And he actually accepted it, and he wouldn't believe it. He took me to Congress. He had me give a speech in front of everyone. Then he had me on national TV, and he was doing this. Imagine every person you bump into from that time on is going to hear about the story ad nauseum, right? Says the Chafetz Chaim, even if you had problems at home before you left, and this child was acting up, and that person's laundry was on the floor and wasn't put away, and your house was a wreck, and business wasn't going well, you're going to forget about it all. Why? Because you feel like $1 million, that the most important person in the world actually takes you seriously. And from that time on is consulting with you, and he wants to hear what you have to say because he thinks you have the answer to all the world's problems. Imagine what you would feel like, says the Chafetz Chaim. And he writes, not only are you going to stop at telling your family and everybody that you know, but the next time you're at a wedding, everyone's going to be sitting around telling stories. Oh, what did you do this summer? I'll tell you what I did this summer. By the way, I was invited to the Oval Office, and everybody perks up and says, so what did you do there? Well, you know, it started off with a little photo op, but after that it, you know, developed into something more significant, more substantial. And from that time on, you know, I got to go. The president's calling me. I'm sorry. Everybody you know is going to start hearing about the story, and you will not stop talking about it. Writes the Chafetz Chaim. Next paragraph. Ve'atan is bonin na. Let's think about that story and let's try to bring it into our reality. If you had that opportunity and you had that experience, the president is only the president for a limited amount of time. He's only going to be important for a couple of years. And after that, it's all over. And even if it lasts an extra 20 years after he leaves the office, he's going to die at some point. He's not going to be here forever. He's not even able to do anything to extend his own life. If God decides that it's his time no longer to be here or no longer to be important, he's done. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, do you understand that this is the experience that we have every day of our lives? God is here to stay. He's not going anywhere. When we have the opportunity to perform one of his mitzvahs that he has instructed us to do, and I make a bracha right before I begin the mitzvah, and I say, Asher kedishanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu, shehu medaber ima lenochach, I am speaking directly with the Ribbono Shel Olam. He calls me into the Oval Office and he says, let's have a conversation. I'd like to hear. I heard that you are the expert. I want to hear your ideas. I want to hear how you feel we should deal with this problem. This is what I'd like you to do. Kedaber ish el reyehu. Ubevadai, look at the three dots. Ubevadai mefik ritzon mimenu az al yidei zeh. And God is so happy by what he sees, by what you've put forth. V'nichtav davar zeh b'sefer zikaron lefanav. And he calls in his cabinet members, and he calls in Congress, and he says, listen to this person. Look at the idea that they've built. Look at what they've done. Umefarsemes az pu'ulaso, and the Ribbono Shel Olam then publicizes that which we have shared with him. Lifnei ribei revavos malachim hakadoshim. God calls in his tens of thousands of angels, and he gathers them together, and he says, I'd like to share with you the idea that this person had. I'd like to share with you the activity that this person was engaged with. I'd like you to know about the chesed that this person did that no one else knows about. I'd like you to know there was a Tomchei Shabbos packing this past week, and this person went and decided to drive all the packages to where they needed to go. This is worthy of national TV. The Ribbono Shel Olam calls in Alfei Alafim Urevavos Malachim to come and hear the news, to let them know what's been going on. And he quotes from Azar HaKadosh, I know nothing about this, but he quotes it. Shegavriel HaMalach Omed Umachriz B'chol Laila Es Maise B'nei HaAdam. Do you understand what that means? The Ribbono Shel Olam has a designated Malach whose job it is to get up in public and share everything that we have accomplished in the past day. Amazing. Did you ever think, you daven with Kavana this morning? It's between you and God. Did you know that there are tens of thousands of malachim that are hearing about that? Do you understand that this is a meaningful moment for the Ribbono Shel Olam, so much so that he's willing to share it with others, that he's willing to take stock of what it is? V'yielo la'adam davar zeh l'shvach v'tiferes olamim ba'olam haba. God will forever remember whatever it is that you have done. Next paragraph. How worthy it is for all of us to be so overjoyed. We should be so happy and so lucky for the opportunity that we have. Not only at the time that you perform a mitzvah, realize and understand what it is that you're engaging in. Understand, I'm sitting in the sukkah, it seems like I'm doing nothing. I'm davening in the morning, I get up a few minutes early to daven shacharis before life gets crazy. I make a bracha before I pick up a food that I want to eat or a drink that I'm about to drink. I do anything that the Ribbono Shel Olam asks me to do. Understand what that entails. Be misameach, understand how happy you should be that everything that you do, the most powerful person in the world is actually consulting with you about. He actually wants to hear from you. And not only that, when he does hear from you, he shares it with others. Because he thinks what you have done is most impressive. And is valid. And is something to speak with others about. Says the Chafetz Chaim, can you believe that you are now part of the legions of Tzva HaShamayim? You have now been invited in to be a part of everything that goes on up in heaven. And God considers you to be a serious player in that discussion. Look at the next paragraph, and with this we'll close. Hagida na, says the Chafetz Chaim, I beg of you, acha v'rei'ai, hisbonein b'nafshecha, think carefully. Im ala lecha davar zeh b'rayoncha, pam achas b'shavua? Do you think about the joy that one is supposed to have at least once a week? Cut yourself some slack. Give yourself a break. Be happy about the life that you're living. Be excited about the opportunity that only the Ribbono Shel Olam can give all of us in the world that we live in. Think about it once a week, says the Chafetz Chaim. Give yourself some pleasure in life. Oh, pam achas b'chodesh, if you're too busy once a week, at least once a month. Or he says, al kalpanim, pam achas b'shana, once a year at least. Give yourself the opportunity to bask in the glory of the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. To appreciate what it means to be a real part of his life and to be a real part of his world. Lios kol kach sameach v'tov lev mikiyum ha-mitzvah kemo zeh ha-ishana. Like this person that we just described, who has the answer to all the world's problems and is now the most important person in the world because he's going to solve it. Imagine yourself 100 times more than that. U'masha'ein anu margishim zeh b'nafshenu, says the Chafetz Chaim, I know that we cannot feel this. I know that a Jew doesn't walk around all of his life and just think about how overjoyed he or she should be from the opportunity that they've been given to perform the mitzvahs Hashem. The reason why is because Ein anu makirim b'zeh ha'olam es godel kivodo u'kdushaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Part of galus is that we don't understand how great the awesome majesty of the Ribbono Shel Olam. How can we fathom it? And because we have no understanding of what that means, therefore, we don't have the ability to be excited about being connected with Him. When we think about the 9 days, when we think about the gullus that we experience, when we consider what it is that we're missing, the Rambam says, after Mashiach will come, Umala ha'aretz deya es Hashem. The world will be so obsessed with an understanding of God, there will be such a clarity of vision. Like the Gemara says, when Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come, many questions are going to be answered. So the Gemara says, one of the questions that's going to be answered is, if we have a dispute, somebody lent money and we don't know, are you the one that lent the money or are you the one that lent the money? One of you is lying. The Gemara says, Yehemunach HaTshiyavu Eliyahu. When Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come, it will be figured out. So Rabbi Chana Wasserman asks, how does Eliyahu HaNavi have the right to answer that question? Doesn't the Gemara say, Lo b'shamayim hi? We don't answer questions based on a Navi. We don't take answers from Eliyahu HaNavi. So how can it be we're going to rely on Eliyahu HaNavi? Writes Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, what it means is, there's going to be such a clarity at the time of Bias HaMashiach, nobody would dare to lie. We're going to have such an understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam, such an understanding of life and of the world that we live in, that we're not going to be having the problems that we have today in our world. Says the Chafetz Chaim, this is what the experience of Galus does to us. Unfortunately, it puts us in a position where we don't have the ability to fully appreciate and understand what it means to be connected with the Melech Malchei HaMelechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have no way of understanding that because it's so foreign to us in life, because we have no way of connecting to it. But says the Chafetz Chaim, give yourself a chance. Once a week, once a month, or at least once a year, to be so overjoyed by the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam takes an interest in you, that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to hear from you, that every single activity and action that we do, every positive thing that we're involved in, will be spoken about in heaven, and God will be so proud and He'll share it with others. Should that not make a person the most mu'ushar b'chayim, says the Chafetz Chaim? Should that not make a person feel like I'm the luckiest human being alive? When we speak about Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek le'olam haba, yes, it's true. We all are guaranteed a portion, some nominal portion in the world to come. But at the same time, writes the Chafetz Chaim, we have the opportunity to make that portion meaningful. We have the opportunity to go before God at some point when He's going to ask us, so what do you do in the company? And what is it that you deserve to be paid? And how is it that we should pay you in full? And what kind of bonuses should we give you? You should be able to present the Ribbono Shel Olam and say, I'm not coming just because I'm a relative of yours. I'm not coming just on a monthly paycheck that I happen to get for doing nothing. I'm coming because I have so much to be proud of in the life that I lived. Because I produced, because I gave to my community, because I was so involved in positively impacting the lives of others, because I was living a selfless life for you and for others who I was able to interact with. That's something we all have the opportunity to write for ourselves. It's the answers we hope we all have the ability to give the Ribbono Shel Olam when He's going to ask us that very poignant question. What is it that you feel you deserve? What is it that you feel you have accomplished? We can all answer Him, I've accomplished so much more than just my preliminary chelek of Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek La'olam Haba. Wish everyone a wonderful day.